We've produced a new CD of two sermons preached by Pastor Todd Wilkin, one for Lent and one for Easter. And we'll send you this new CD for any size donation during the season of Lent. You can donate online, issuesetc.org, or by check, Lutheran Public Radio, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. And for any size gift between now and April 12th, we'll send you a CD of one of Todd's Lent and Easter sermons.
There's no God who condones taking the life of an innocent human being. This much we know.
I think that it is a good time for those who voted for the ban against gay marriage to sit and reflect and anticipate their great shame and the shame in their grandchildren's eyes if they continue that way.
I feel that this happened for a much bigger reason than baseball. I think God's put me now in a forum where I can be heard, and I hope that kids would not make the same mistake that I made.
To all of the gay and lesbian kids out there tonight who have been told that they are less than by their churches, no matter what anyone tells you, God does love you. Very soon, I promise you, you will have equal rights federally across this great nation of ours.
Oh, every week it's a pleasure to come to Friday. A pleasure because we get a chance to finally respond to some listener email. It piles up during the week, and we so often say that we get so much that we just can't respond. And I know it seems rude, but this is the best way for us to respond to listener email, is just to read some of it on the air, get through as much of it as we can, and then answer the questions that they ask or respond to the comments that they make. This Friday is no exception. It's Friday, February the 27th. We're coming to you live this afternoon. Listener email is first. As much as we value our on-demand listeners, we also value all the input that they offer to us. After that, Issues Etc. blog of the week. Jeff has his pick. I have my pick, and we'll announce them for you right about the bottom of the hour here. And then Issues Etc. soundbite of the week. Four great soundbites for you to vote on. 1-877-623-6943. 877-623-MYIE, and our in-studio email address for the next 2 hours, talkback@issuesetc.org, talkback@issuesetc.org. A huge second hour this Friday afternoon. Dr. Mike Horton joins us first to talk about the gospel-driven church. We've heard about purpose-driven churches and contagious churches and all sorts of other churches, fad-driven churches. Well, what would the church look like if it were driven by the gospel, if the focus of the church was really on the good news of Jesus Christ, that is this power of salvation for everyone who believes? Dr. Mike Horton will answer that question in the second hour, and then we will conclude our five-part daily series on the cross of Christ with Dr. Stephen Hine. We'll talk about false views of the atonement. We've talked a lot about the right view of the atonement, turned the diamond around to see all the facets, and in this last part today, we'll talk about some false views that have prevailed and do prevail in the church today and see what's wrong with them. 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE, or talkback@issuesetc.org. Listener email, Jeff.
Let's go to Baghdad, Iraq, where Paul writes, I was reading the fourth article, the Augsburg Confession, being discussed today, and I found a small parallel to Dr. Luther's explanation of the third article of the Apostles' Creed. I believe that I cannot by my own reason or strength believe in Jesus Christ or come to him. This brought two questions to mind. First, why is it that some Christian denominations insist that one must accept Christ as his or her Savior or do so many good works or merits to force God to forgive me? Second, is there any parallel of this article and what Christ said in Matthew 6, verses 1 through 6? Thanks, Paul in Baghdad, Iraq, for the email. And thanks for your service to our country.
Yes, absolutely, and thanks for listening out there in Baghdad. Well, I think there is a parallel about not by our own reason or strength, not by our own works or merits. None of these things contribute in any way whatsoever to the Holy Spirit's work to bring us to faith, to keep us in the faith. You know, a lot of Christians would say, oh, the Holy Spirit brings you to faith. But then from that point on, it's kind of your job to cooperate with the Holy Spirit to maintain that faith or to sustain that faith, and that's not true either. So Holy Spirit's work through the Word from beginning to end. That which brings you to faith is that which keeps you in the faith. The very message that brings the faith that trust in Jesus Christ is the very message that sustains you in that faith your entire life long. This is why Christians go to church. Christians go to church because it's a necessity. It's not a luxury. It's a necessity. If I cut myself off from the life-sustaining word, I'm cutting myself off from the Holy Spirit, and I'm cutting myself off ultimately from Christ. I am cutting myself off from the means by which the Holy Spirit maintains my faith. And of course, Jesus talks about practicing piety, giving to the needy, prayer, of all these things in Matthew chapter 6. And in talking about this, he's in essence saying to them, these things you do, these good works you do, are not done for your own sake. You do not do them so that you might receive a reward which can be seen. You do not do them to be seen by other men. These acts of piety are for your neighbor's sake. And this is why he says when you do them, don't even feel the need to advertise. He even goes so far as to say, do it in secret. Your Father sees. And the reward that the Father gives here is not, well, I'll do my private prayer because I'll get a reward from God. That's, we do not do these things for the reward. He assures us of the reward, but we don't do them for the reward, not from men, not from God, and yet God graciously rewards these good works solely for Christ's sake. It is a good parallel.
Tom in San Angelo, Texas writes, I received the following email from KFUO today, KFUO being our previous employer. It appears that someone from KFUO has been listening to you, Todd, and has decided to join the 21st century and suggest on-demand as the way to increase listenership. Issues Etc. leads the way and is helping out LCMS, Inc. That's Tom in San Angelo, Texas. They forwarded the email. It says MP3 audio on-demand in big letters, encouraging people to hear more recordings of today's broadcast day archived at KFUOAM.org. So they're listening to you, big guy.
Well, I mean, maybe so, or maybe they just come to their senses. Remember when Issues Etc. was canceled, one of the reasons that was given was that nobody listened to it anyway. They had this, Issues Etc. had this measly live listenership, and we want live listeners on the internet, it was said. We need live listeners. Well, what we always knew in terms of our internet audience when we were there, and we could always show it with hard numbers, that the vast majority of our audience was on-demand listeners, which is why we say today we love our on-demand listeners. And of course, anyone who forays into the new media, as it is called, will quickly realize that the audience is on-demand. People listen to what they want, when they want. This is how I watch TV now that I've got TiVo. I watch what I want, when I want. This is how I listen to the radio. Actually, I don't listen to the radio per se anymore. I listen to my iPod, listening to what I want, when I want. I'm an on-demand listener. And that's the future of what used to be – terrestrial radio isn't dead. It's just that what used to be I turn it on and I listen to it when they tell me to listen to it, I don't need to do that anymore. I can now listen to what I want, when I want. And right. It's good to see somebody else catching on to this.
That's right. Greg in Colorado Springs states, I'm not a Lutheran, but I found your podcast just through an iTunes search on something else. I had to take a minute to thank you for fighting the good fight against the Synod's various legal challenges. Although I'm part of a non-denominational evangelical church, which I've heard both of these concepts being thrashed by one commentator or another, I very much enjoy the guests you have and especially enjoy the expansions of my own thoughts and understandings. Thanks again for such high-quality work, Greg, in Colorado Springs, Colorado.
Thank you very much, Greg, and thanks for listening in. Do they call that the Rocky Mountain State, or is it just called Colorado? I never know. Beautiful place. Been there many times in the last several years. Just gorgeous to behold. Thanks for listening there. He talks about fighting the fight. I don't know. It was hardly a fight. We just kind of waited for it to blow over. I mean, did what we could and waited for all the legal threats and the wrangling to blow over. It was hardly a fight.
Thanks to our listeners.
Absolutely. And if anybody wants the latest on this, you can go to our website, issuesetc.org. Click on demand, and right there at the top of the page, you'll find one of our latest web extra open mics. It's called A Response to Dr. Gerald Kiesnick's Issues Etc. Memo. It has two resources attached to it. And then below that, a little less recent, the Issues Etc. trademark dispute and the LCMS legal threat. If you listen to those in the order that they were put there, you get a pretty fair picture of what's been happening lately vis-a-vis the legal team of LCMS, Inc.
Quickly before the break, Joshua in Waconia, Minnesota. I've been listening to your show for the last 2 months. First, thank you for the steadfast dedication to communicating the truth of Christ as delivered to us by the Word of God. Your program has helped me to come back to Lutheranism I once abandoned 10 years ago. I want to compliment you guys on your choice of bumper music. It's funny how so many of these songs are able to touch on the issues you're addressing in an ironic and humorous manner. It's nice that a Christian radio program does not have to play contemporary Christian music in order to be Christian. I have observed that many secular songs inadvertently touch on theological issues better than most 7-Eleven Christian songs. That's Joshua in Waconia, Minnesota.
Well, a lot of that comes from the fact that we're not pietists. We don't feel like it has to be performed by a Christian or be explicitly Christian to get our point across. Often the point is best communicated through that inadvertent voice of pop culture, and we try and do that to the best of our ability. Nothing against Christian music that's explicitly Christian. I'm all for it. Although contemporary Christian music, if it's selling big, you usually find an inverse proportional relationship between how popular it is, how much it sells, and how much explicitly Christian content it actually contains. Still time for another email before the break? No? Well, we're listening to some, actually reading some of our listener email and responding to it, and we will for another 10 minutes on the other side of the break. Then Issues Etc. Blog of the Week, Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week, and in the second hour of the program, we'll start out with Dr. Mike Horton talking about gospel-driven Christianity, a gospel-driven church, and then conclude our series with Dr. Stephen Hine on the cross of Christ. We'll talk about some false views of the atonement. Monday on the program, we'll discuss a family-friendly government. What would it look like? Why isn't the government we have nowadays as friendly to the family as it could be? Dr. Alan Carlson will be our guest. We'll also discuss myths about death with Pastor Jared Melius. I'm Todd Wilkin. More listener email after this. Stay tuned.
Would you like to post your favorite Issues Etc. audio segments on your website or blog? Well, we've made it easy for you. Just go to the on-demand page of our website, issuesetc.org, click the embed green logo, and copy and paste the embed code on your website or blog. It's just like posting a YouTube video. Embed Issues Etc. audio on your website or blog today. We love our on-demand listeners. Old theology, new technology. issuesetc.org.
We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start, the foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House, listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House, cph.org.
Educating a new generation of Lutherans, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks for sending us your email. Having produced Issues Etc. for more than 15 years, I can tell you that we've never received email response like this. But due to the heavy volume, we simply can't reply to all of your email. So here's a way that I can almost guarantee a response to your question or comment. Call the Issues Etc. comment line, 618-223-8384. It's available 24/7, 618-223-8384.
On behalf of the staff of Issues Etc., thanks to each and every one of the more than 7,600 who signed the online petition to bring back Issues Etc. Barbara Rosebro, Roger Dierker, Ron Beck, Jerry Findley, Pastor Christopher Decker, David Christner, Pastor Neil Schmidt, Rosalind Hodge, Lisa Pearson, and Angie Raddatz. Thanks for your support.
But nowadays, you go up to this water distribution plant and they want to sell you a cell phone or get you a nice mocha latte or get you in a group that talks about how great water is, anything but giving out the water. And this is really the problem with the church.
But I don't think it's a matter of continence. It's a matter of the gospel, and the gospel knows no boundaries. no geography or even time.
And I wonder whether in a church convention or synod that finally you come down to two candidates, and at the end you just roll the dice. Evens this guy and odds the other.
Personally, I was appalled at Google for celebrating Darwin's birthday on February 12th with their Splash logo. With a body count like that, I simply ask, why not an April 20th happy birthday Hitler?
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin, going through some listener email here this Friday afternoon, February the 27th, 1-877-623-6943. 877-623-MY-I-E, or talk back at issuesetc.org. You can hear just a few of those snippets of those sound bites. We'll be playing for you here in about 10 minutes. You guys are being awfully noisy in there. What are you doing, like cracking walnuts in there or moving the trash can around?
I think Craig's just hungry.
It's heavy breathing and lots of shifting around in there. At least I hear it. So we have Soundbite of the Week coming up, and we're just going to play four soundbites for you and then ask you to vote on which one should be the Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. I'm scatterbrained right now because we've already done a lot of radio today, and then we had a dog in here a few minutes ago, and I was overcome with affection for the dog, a little beautiful little dachshund that visited us.
And how do you pronounce that dog? What'd you call it?
Dachshund.
Dachshund?
Dachshund.
Okay, then.
How would you pronounce it?
I'm not even going to try.
All right. Cute little dog.
It wouldn't sound like that.
AJ was the dog's name. Very cute.
Teresa in Maple Grove, Minnesota. The series with Dr. Stephen Hine on the cross of Christ has been wonderful to listen to and will be in the permanent archive on my computer and iPod. Maybe LCMS Inc. will figure out what an iPod is.
Yeah.
Go figure. Maybe they'll have a mass email like a year from now.
Yeah. Cool.
Listen on an iPod. Something that just came out. I was very interested in part two, the discussion of the word propitiation. I especially liked the way that Dr. Hine explained the word. I was already familiar with it from its use in the blue hymnal Lutheran worship in the order of matins. In the common responsory for Lent, the pastor says, "We have an advocate with the Father. Jesus is the propitiation for our sins." And we reply, "He was delivered up to death. He was delivered for the sins of the people." It makes me even more grateful for our Lutheran liturgy that it will use these rich, deep words that are full of theological meaning and stop dumbing things down. Our parochial school uses the order of matins during its chapel services, and every year we sing the Lenten responsory with the word propitiation in it. The pastor will always take a moment to explain to the kids what the word means, but even elementary school kids can definitely grasp its meaning. Too bad so many adults don't get it. Now this Lenten season, that word now takes on additional meaning and understanding thanks to Dr. Hine's discussion. Thank you so much for spending so much time talking about the cross of Christ. This is what our faith and hope is built on. Thanks again for talking about Christ and Him crucified. And thank you, Teresa in Maple Grove, Minnesota, for the email.
Thank you. The words, because we have capitulated to the culture, the church has decided that we're going to have to be able to communicate the faith once for all delivered to the saints with single-syllable words. Well, that's not how God communicates it to us. There are good, valuable words that are worth retaining and worth keeping, if only within the pale of the church. The world may never remember what propitiation is or what it means, but Christians ought to know because it's the very heart of what we believe our hope, our assurance, and our comfort is. Now, do you have to use that word? No, you don't. But why would we want to throw away perfectly good words? You know, Christians are really good at spotting the dumbing down of language when it comes to political correctness. The college campus, politicians, they're really good at spotting when language is corrupted in the culture. And they don't like it. They don't like it one bit. When words are redefined, when verbs, nouns are turned into verbs, when one word is put to substitute for another word that was perfectly good already. When that happens in the culture, Christians get up on their hind legs, don't they? And yet, for some reason, when it happens in the church, they're happy to be reduced to monosyllabic utterances and words that would not stretch the vocabulary of the average kindergartner. They're perfectly happy to have that happen, to have their language dumbed down in church. Well, if you don't like it in the culture, then don't put up with it in your church, your preaching, your prayers, your songs, your liturgy either.
Kay in Maryland, I just wanted to share a quick story with you. My son and I stopped at the post office yesterday, and while I was inside, a man knocked on the window and asked Joel what my bumper sticker was supposed to say. My issues had faded off. He explained, and the man wanted to know how he could listen to the show. So Joel directed him to the website and podcasts. Apparently, the man was very glad for the information. I thought that was so cool, especially the Christ-centered cross focus has certainly not faded at all. That's Kay in Maryland.
Well, you know, the name may fade, but with the events of this week, it's assured not to fade. But the Christ-centered cross focus doesn't fade. I was joking with Jeff that maybe those who put together those bumper stickers with us were prescient about the trademark challenge that we recently faced over the name and just made the name issues, et cetera, kind of easily worn away so that something else could be sharpied in. But the Christ-centered cross-focused remains. Well, luckily, the name issues, et cetera, will remain, if not on the bumper stickers, on the show. You know, our theology is durable. Our bumper stickers may not be so durable.
Randy in Granite City, Illinois. What's that? That's about, 15 minutes from here? 20 minutes?
You guys know you're the northeast side guys.
Yeah. I'm actually headed next week to watch my Evansville Tigers play in the regional basketball. It's hosted by Granite City, so I'll be there next weekend, actually. Actually, a week from tonight for the regional championship, where we will probably defeat Craig's beloved Collinsville Cayhawks once again for, I think, the 16th time in a row. Anyway, Randy in Granite City, Illinois. I just wanted to send you a quick note of thanks for all you do with Issues, etc. Last Sunday, I was confirmed, and I'm now a member of Hope Lutheran Church in Granite City. My becoming Lutheran is the end of a long spiritual journey, which includes stops in the United Church of Christ, Nazarene, Baptist, and Presbyterian churches. God has used many people and resources to bring about this end, but Issues, etc. has been by far the most influential. I have grown in my understanding of all these things biblical, and I'm very thankful to God for all you do. Thank you very much, Randy, and thank you, Randy, Randy in Granite City, Illinois.
Well, that's some of the best news we always get from listeners, be they longtime listeners, people who've just found us, when they say, you know what, listening to this program introduced me to sound Reformation theology, to grace alone, faith alone, Christ alone, Scripture alone, and I had to have it on Sunday morning as well as on the radio and the internet. And I found a church where it's taught and where it's maintained. That's the best news we can get. That's why we're here. I mean, a radio program is a luxury. Church is a necessity. And it's a shame that a lot of people have to go to the radio to find what they should have readily available to them in the pulpit of their church every single Sunday. You shouldn't have to turn on the radio to hear Christ and his cross for you. But we're happy to provide it and point people in the right direction where they can find it every Sunday, every sermon.
Dennis in St. John's, Michigan. I believe St. John spoke directly to the subject of love and propitiation in 1 John 4:10. In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. I find this gospel declaration preferable to John 3:16, where some confuse God's love for their actions, not what Christ accomplished for us on the cross. That's Dennis in St. John's, Michigan.
Well, I think we should have more than one gospel in a nutshell, shouldn't we? We should not have to say, well, where's the gospel clear in Scripture? Well, it's really only clear in one passage, John 3:16. It's clear all over. The gospel comes through clear all over in that other passage. In this is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and gave his Son, as some translations say, the atoning sacrifice for our sins. And not only for ours, says John. Well, there's the gospel in a nutshell, too. Perhaps even clearer. One of my pet peeves about John 3:16 is that people will, because of the deterioration of the English language, by the way, talking about that again, because of the deterioration of the English language, they'll read, God so loved the world as God loved the world so much, which is not what the original says. What the original says is God so loved the world, thusly loved the world. God loved the world in this way. How does God love the world? He loves the world by giving his only begotten Son into death, that whoever believes in him should have eternal life. Now, there's the gospel in a nutshell, too. But let's find those nutshells everywhere in Scripture, because they're all over Scripture. You don't have to go to John 3:16 to get the gospel clear in your Bible. You should be able to find it everywhere you look. Jesus on every page, Jesus for you in his death and resurrection, directly or indirectly, by sign, by cipher, by prophecy, by promise, by fulfillment, everywhere in Scripture. That's how Jesus read the Bible. Every time he opened up the Bible and read it, he put it down and says, well, that was all about me. Every time you read the Bible, that's what you should be looking for. Christ for you. Now, when we come back from this break, we'll spend just a few minutes reading our Issues Etc. blog posts of the week. Jeff has his, I have mine, and then it'll be time to play Issues Etc. soundbite of the week. We have four soundbites. You listen to them, and then you get ready to call and vote. 1-877-623-6943, 1-877-623-MYIE, or email your votes to us, talkback@issuesetc.org, and you'll be able to tell us which of the soundbites you think should be Issues Etc. soundbite of the week this week and why. 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE, or talkback@issuesetc.org. We'll have to wait till next Friday for more listener email when we come back. Blog of the week. Stay tuned.
LCMS Inc. canceled this? You're listening to Issues Etc.
Here's an easy way for you to publicize Issues Etc. at your church. Go to the promote page of our website, issuesetc.org, and you'll find a short paragraph to include in your weekly church bulletin. Help inform your fellow parishioners about Issues Etc. issuesetc.org. Click promote and copy and paste the text for your church secretary or pastor to include each week in the Sunday bulletin. We update this paragraph weekly. Go to the promote page of our website, issuesetc.org.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
Parents in Nevada City, California are furious with their local middle school, and they have every right to be. Steve Davis, a counselor at the school, heard rumors a 12-year-old student was pregnant, so he confronted her. When she denied the accusation, it should have ended there, but didn't. Counselor got a pregnancy test from the school nurse and demanded the young girl go into the bathroom to provide a urine sample. Feeling she didn't have a choice, the preteen complied. Her parents weren't even consulted. Outraged, they filed a lawsuit. The pregnancy test was negative, but had she been pregnant, would the school have forced her to also have an abortion, probably without the parents' knowledge? Parents, keep a watchful eye on your children in our public schools.
For more information, visit our website at lifeissues.org and stay informed, more informed than you've ever been.
On behalf of the staff of Issues Etc., thanks to each and every one of the more than 7,600 who signed the online petition to bring back Issues Etc. Dennis Kiner, Eunice Neerman, Thomas Johnson, Teresa Becker, Susan Clute, Cassie Eskett, Sharon Poe, Rachel Shepperly, Mark Johnson, and Marsha Johnson. Thanks for your support.